And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is Charting a New Direction. Each of my guests is discussing a subject matter that takes our world in a different direction. My next guest is a rebel, both literally and metaphorically. She'll explain how to propel our businesses to high-velocity growth from her book, Defy Gravity. And if you have a question or if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Rebel Brown has positioned and repositioned technology companies for high-velocity growth over the last two decades. She's recognized for her expertise in business and marketing strategy, corporate and product positioning, and go-to-market launches. Rebel's best-selling book is titled Defy Gravity, and it's a guide to creating power positions in today's technology markets. Rebel has been featured in media such as Forbes, Entrepreneur, Inc. You can imagine all the business publications there. Rebel has started her consulting firm back in 1989 after selling large systems to financial services and the aerospace markets. Then, in the 1990s, Rebel ran a consulting business from Paris, bringing European startup firms to the United States. Rebel enjoys her pursuits as an avid horsewoman and a wild horse activist. She's an expert skier. She's an outdoors woman who tends an orchard greenhouse. She hikes the coastal mountains and she kayaks in the Pacific Ocean. Diego, or as she calls him, Mr. D, is a three-year-old retired show championship dog, and that is Rebel's constant companion. Joining us from Northern California. Hi, Rebel. How are you today?
Hi, you know, Billy, I sound bigger than I really am with all that intro.
Well, that's nothing more than your life encapsulated into a few words. I needed to set the stage.
Every time I hear it, I laugh and go, whoa, who's that person?
Well, it's all about you, Rebel. It's all about you.
It's all about me.
So we got to dive right into this. But before I get actually into the meat of the discussion, I can't go and not talk about your name. So my listeners want to know, how did you get the name Rebel? Is it a nickname? Is it a statement of who you are? Just how did you come up with the name?
It's a story. I ended up putting a video on my website because, you know, everybody asked. But it's not what people expect. You know, most people say, oh, she must have been a rebel. Well, actually, my mother gave me that name when I was born. My mom, I'm from a very small town in southern Indiana that was south of the Mason-Dixon line. And my mom was 42 years old when she had me, and I am an only child. So, and both she and my dad were my only children. They were both 42. They had no brothers and sisters. They had waited to have me, and my mom, when she got pregnant, and, you know, the whole small town said, well, God, she worried God to death until God finally said, okay, I'll give her a baby, for heaven's sake. And so, you know, so here I come into this environment. They're 42. Me, Rebecca, for her maternal grandmother. Elizabeth, for my dad's maternal grandmother, took REB from Rebecca, EL from Elizabeth, and named me Rebel, and I've never known anything different.
And that's how the name is born. All right, well, that puts that to rest, Rebel. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. Now, let's get into the meat of the matter, because you are truly a subject matter expert when it comes to consulting businesses about high-velocity growth. And throughout business history, the storyline is pretty much the same. Those companies that go against the status quo are the ones that achieve the greatest success. So how did you decide to call your philosophy Defy Gravity? And give us some examples of that, will you please?
Well, you know, as you said, I've been a consultant for 22 years, and I work a lot with early-stage companies, and I work a lot with later-stage companies who have hit a wall, right? And people go, well, how can that have anything in common? Well, it does, because each of those is they're looking for innovation and for new ways of doing in order to grow their business, right? Either it's new value, new markets, whatever. And what I learned over 20-something years of consulting is that every single business I worked with had the same problem, and I call it gravity.
All right,
gravity is our status quo way of thinking and doing and being that gets in our way of evolution and growth. And we all have it. We are natural-born gravity machines. We are human beings in business. And as humans, we are learning machines. We learn from our experiences. We learn from other people. We learn from the cultures of the companies we work for. And we create beliefs. And those beliefs become knowns. And those knowns, over time, become the status quo. And I can tell you right now, Billy, that the way we've always done it is the reason for the mess we're in. And if we're not in a mess yet, we will be in a mess, because you can't keep doing things the way you did them in the past in a market as today's markets, where everything is shifting, everything's accelerating, and your buyers can go out and look at, review, compare, and decide on purchasing what they want without you ever knowing about it because of the Internet.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. My guess
so
is...
If we're using yesterday's... And, you know, the part of the problem is, so we had a success 3 years ago, right?
Yeah.
And we look at that and we go, oh, wow, that was successful, and I went out and sold four more like that, so that's my success pattern. Well, it was 3 years ago, but that doesn't mean it's a success pattern now. And, in fact, our past successes create gravity because they become status quo. The market shifts, and we don't change.
All right. My guest is Rebel Brown. So, Rebel, compare and contrast gravity with what you call lift.
Well, so gravity is created. So the whole book's built on a flight metaphor. So in flight, you have thrust, which takes you forward, and you have drag, which holds you back. That's why we streamline planes, so they don't have a lot of things sticking up, right? We have lift, which is what takes us up, and we have weight, which is what holds us down, which is why the more weight you have, the more lift you have to have. Well, drag and weight create gravity for a plane, right?
Right.
Now, well, gravity's there, but that's kind of how that happens. Now, in business, your thrust is your value. What makes you go forward and gives you momentum is your distinct value in your business. What creates drag is when you hang on to a value that's old, that's no longer distinct, no longer high value, and you keep trying to sell it, and that's how we get into commoditization and into dropping price and into all these other things. Or, in many cases, we'll have a value and it's getting a little stale, so we'll just add more things around it for free because we got to hold on to that value because that's our best value.
All right.
And we get stuck in that belief. And it happens with products, it happens with services, it happens with value. We get stuck in believing that it's the best thing we have, and we prop it up all the way until we die. That's drag. Then we have lift, which is, in business, your lift comes from selling that distinct value into markets that are willing and need to pay for it, right? They need to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Weight comes when you hang on to markets that are no longer your best opportunity and keep saying, oh, that's my best opportunity. I know that's my value, and I can sell it to them. And we do this all the time. If you think about it, we go out and follow our top five customers, our biggest customers. We listen to them. We let them tell us what to do. Even if they're going a direction that's not our best path and our market is shifting and there's other opportunities, how often do we not see it because we're still selling to the same customers with the same value and doing it the way we've always done?
Makes a lot of sense. My guest is Rebel Brown.
So business gravity comes, Billy, when we get stuck in beliefs about our value, about our markets, about our competition, about our customers, about our products that are no longer true, and yet we're still trying to repeat, 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 because that's what we're built to do as humans, right? We're built to create a pattern and repeat it.
You know, it's been a survival mechanism for all of these millennia.
That's
it makes
right.
sense.
And especially in this day and age, with this market shift and with everything accelerating, if you're doing things the way you've always done them, you're headed for a problem because it's not going to keep working.
All right. Dire words from Rebel Brown, author of the book Defy Gravity. Rebel, one of the things that I found interesting and almost counterintuitive in your common sources of gravity is one that you call, our key employees are the reason that we are here. Every company says that. Our employees are the reason that we're in business. We have the best employees, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How does having great employees, or at least announcing that you have great employees, create gravity or weight?
Well, now, it's not about having great employees. It's about believing that that employee who is actually a problem is your key employee. So let me give you an example.
Great.
I go into many, many companies who have grown, and then they've kind of hit a wall. And when I go into those companies, and they don't have to be big companies. You know, it can be a $10 million company, $5 million company, $1 million company. It's all relative. But when I get into those businesses, without a doubt, there are always a few employees who are digging their heels in, refusing to change, continue to promote the way they've always done it, and they are the ones that are causing the wall in the business because they won't let the business evolve.
All right. Now,
and yet they've been there forever, and so what can you do? You know, oh, he's a nice guy, he's been here forever, you know. We can't do anything about that, and that nice guy who's been here forever, as soon as you're out of the meeting, goes back to his team and tells everybody, we're not doing it their way, we're sticking to the way we've always done it, because that's what we know, and everybody agrees with it. And then, you know what? We all see it all the time, and we don't deal with it.
All right. Now, that makes some sense. So let's turn the tables. Let's look at the opposite side of the equation, which is lift. So what are some common sources of lift that can help our companies move forward?
Well, lift is, as I talked about earlier, Billy, lift is when you get into the, when you find your right market opportunities that are ready to buy your value, and you listen to those market opportunities, and you focus on selling to them, not holding on to the wrong markets, or not trying to beat the competition, or not, you know, those are all dry weight creating things. Lift comes from your being in the right place in the market.
All right. Give us some examples of companies that you've worked with that have identified the right place in the market, even though it may have been different from the market they currently served.
Well, let me give you an example of one. Okay, let me give you an example. I had a client who was selling to small to mid-sized businesses very successfully, right?
Uh-huh.
And then they decided, well, you know what, we're doing so well here, let's just go and look at the enterprise, the bigger businesses, because we've done so well here, we want to go play with the big guys. Right?
All right.
So what did they do? They went and they built a product, and they got it all ready, and they went out there, and they got creamed. Want to know why?
Why?
Wrong market. Right? There's an example of going, well, everybody else is there, and it's the big time, so I'm going to go to the big time because I've been successful. Isn't that a natural human logic pattern?
It is.
It was a mistake. So what we found was they created weight because they tried to go into a market where they had no credibility, no history, no success, didn't have the resources and ability to support a large company. They were used to supporting smaller businesses, and they almost killed the business by doing it.
All right, but then that brings up a bigger point, and I want to stay with this example, Rebel, because it's a good one. So it's something that you call looking for the horizons of opportunities. How do you differentiate a horizon of opportunity from the big opportunity? In this example you just gave, the big opportunity, of course, was going after the enterprise market, because that's where the big fish play. How do you differentiate between horizons of opportunity and getting trapped by the big opportunity?
Well, your horizons of opportunity are what you have out there. You have a 360-degree horizon of opportunity, right?
Right.
Everything around you is a market opportunity. The question is it a profitable market opportunity? See, and this is what we don't think about. We look at opportunities and look at the size of them, and we look at how they're selling, how they're growing, et cetera, and we go, oh, wow, we want to go get that one. We very rarely ask the question, is that the right opportunity for me? Can I make money there? Can I do what I need to do there? Right? Well, how often do we go after a huge, big deal because, oh, man, if I get this big deal, it'll just make me and it'll give me great PR and it'll give me, everybody will know about me and I don't care if I lose money on it. It's a great big deal. We love to go after the big thing, and the big thing is often the reason that we lose money and get ourselves in trouble.
All right. My guess.
What you have to do when you're looking at your horizons of opportunity, which is all of your markets, you have to look at, where does my value fit? Where is that market? Where are the easiest markets for me to evolve to from where I am today, rather than, oh, I'm going to go from this market that is small business all the way to trying to sell to Citibank? That's a pretty silly shift.
Got it. All right. So help me to differentiate something. My guess is Rebel Brown. So, we've all been in business long enough that you can remember a one-year plan, a three-year plan, a five-year plan, all coming out of a centralized organization. And
that doesn't work anymore.
Well, but you say that it doesn't work. I mean, is it really the fast pace of change that we're experiencing? Or is it our ADD society that we just can't hold on to a thought long enough where we can formulate a three-year plan?
I mean, we spent decades trying to get to be like the Japanese and have a five-year plan, right? I mean, I went through that whole cycle in business. We spent a lot of time trying to get to the point that we could do long-term planning. You can't do long-term planning in a market where in 6 months from now everything's different.
All right.
But what we do now, so think about this. So what we do, and I go into clients all the time. We sit in January and we create our year-long strategy, and we check in every quarter, right?
Right.
And we go, oh, are we on plan or are we off plan? Oh, we're on plan, close enough. Okay, let's just keep going. Do you think the world has shifted by the 6 months into that plan?
It may have, may not have.
Oh, it has.
Okay.
I guarantee your consumers, I guarantee you, your buyers, everything about you has shifted within 6 months to 9 months of when you build your plan. And if you aren't checking your plan against that shift, you're operating in the past and your customers are operating in the present.
All right, but that just points out bad management, not adjusting the plan as you go through the year versus...
Well, but nobody,
prior planner.
So I want to know how many business out there you know of that have a dynamic plan that evolves based on feedback and is constantly being reviewed.
Well, I'm going to say Google probably does. I'm going to say that Facebook probably does.
I'm not talking about big, bad companies. I'm talking about normal companies.
Well,
and I can tell you, no, Facebook doesn't do it, and neither does Google.
All right. Well, if you've got some insight on that, that's important.
Ask yourself, when was the last time you looked at your business plan?
Well, when I looked at my business plan as a small guy, I look at it every month, and I wonder what the heck is going on here. I see what your point is. I see what you're trying, the point that you're trying to make. Rebel, you know, you've written this great book, Defying Gravity, and it's been called the quintessential book, one of the great business books of 2010, as a matter of fact. You got that accolade after writing the book. What do you want readers to take away from reading your book, Defy Gravity?
I want people to take away the concept that the best thing we can do in our businesses is constantly question ourselves and say, why are we doing that? Is there a better way? Have we looked at a better way? How do I find a better way to do this rather than sitting back and saying, well, this is what I've always done, and so it worked before, so I'm just going to keep doing it. Because I can tell you right now, when I go out to speak and do workshops and all the things I do, one of the things people tell me constantly is they walk up and say, I don't know what to do. I'm doing everything I've done before, and it's not working. And how many times do you hear that, right, in this economy? And my response to them is, stop doing it. And they look at me like, what? And I'm like, if it's not working, stop doing it. It's okay to stop. It's okay to step back and look and say, okay, this isn't working. What are my other options? I don't care if everybody else is in the industry is doing it this way. That's the exact reason you ought to be looking for a different way.
Always good advice, and that's
questions
the way we set it up.
Questions bring innovation. Questions bring innovation. Acceptance brings a continuance of the way we've always done it.
All right. That's good. We're going to have to leave it there. My guest has been Rebel Brown. Her book, Defy Gravity, Propel Your Business to High Velocity Growth. Rebel, if people are intrigued by what you have to say and they want to learn more about you, maybe learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
You can find me on my website, www.rebelbrown.com, rebelbrown.com.
Rebelbrown.com. That is great. Rebel, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest.
Thank you so much, Billy. It was so great being here.
And I'll talk to you down the road.
All righty, you too. Have a good one.
And you too.